like a bar stool and a Bible to make you feel at home. It's nice to be back. And from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 20. Jesus said, "Whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom." That little directive is actually the punchline to the story in the New Testament where James and John and their mother ask Jesus, "When you come into your kingdom, we want the best seats. We want to sit at the right and at the left." And Jesus said, "You have no idea what you're asking, and that's not the point. The point is to be of service." It's a lesson that's referred to generally as Jesus' statement on true greatness. Almost without argument, the greatest sculpture on earth is Michelangelo's sculpture of David. And it resides at the Academy Museum in Florence. And a couple of weeks ago, we walked around the corner and saw the thing. It's 17 feet tall. And it's one of those, it's kind of like the Grand Canyon, you know, where you hear how great it is, and then you see it, and it's actually better than what you've been told, and it is. David is Michelangelo's epic work. It depicts a very serene-looking David as a young man. Most scholars think that it's depicting David at the moment he's decided to, but has not yet, fought Goliath. And he's ready to go into battle, serenely accepting what he believes will be God's will. The statue itself has become Florence's Statue of Liberty. Again, the underdog prevailing over the giant. True greatness. One of the interesting things about that particular sculpture is that the piece of marble from which it was carved was a cast-off. Someone else had started many years prior, apparently, to sculpt David and then made a mistake from what he was intending. And the massive piece of marble that became this statue sat unused, discarded, and Michelangelo picked it up for next to nothing. And it became, again, the greatest sculpture on earth. The point of which is really no more complicated than what you see on the t-shirts of children. "Be patient, God isn't finished with me yet." A cast-off piece of marble becomes Michelangelo's David in the hands of the master. God isn't finished with us yet. What is he in the process of creating? He's in the process of creating, interestingly enough, I believe, servants. We learned that too. The hotel we stayed in Florence is a very nice place, and space in Europe, we've learned, is at something of a premium. I mean, these cities are now functioning on an infrastructure that was not built for FedEx trucks and cars. It was built for wagons. And yet, it functions. So there's very little public space for leisure. Every public space is used for a road or in some way to get done what needs doing in the lives of the people who live there. Now, the hotel where we stayed had its own private garden and park, small private garden and park, which was a very pleasant place to be. The weather was perfect. We were able to eat at the restaurant that is in the hotel, and of course, the outdoor tables are on this park. And it occurred to me, you know, this is very Eden-esque. If this is what heaven is like, I get it. I understand it. This is a little bit of heaven, maybe. And then I began to think of not just what heaven might be like, but in light of this story of service, I think the reason that experience was a little bit of heaven had much less to do with the flowers and the food than it had to do with the people who were making it happen. The people who ran the desk at that hotel seemed to have made it their life work to be of service, especially to people who were in desperate need of help. Jeannie and I speak together about 10 words of Italian, and yet we had no trouble being made to feel at home by people who had been very highly trained both in the use of the English language and in the understanding and anticipating the needs of people in a foreign country. And when we had silly questions or questions about, you know, can you call a taxi or this, that, or the other thing, The message that came through loud and clear was, thanks for asking. It's an honor to be asked to be of service. Now that is a little bit of heaven. For Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. And if heaven is what Jesus came from, and that was the point, I imagine that at the point where we arrive in the heavenly realm, it's not going to be left and right hand, hearts, flowers, harps, music, and everything we want, but rather, heaven, I think, in light of all of this, will be the opportunity for us to be of service. And that's what the heavenly experience is, being fully of service. Well, how does that happen? We're not fully there. We're on the way. John Irving wrote a novel some 20 years ago called The Cider House Rules, and it centers around life in an orphanage. And there's one particular orphan who, for reasons that have to do with the character he is unadoptable and lives in the orphanage as an adult. And finally, when it occurs that he's going to live there for the rest of his life, the physician who runs the place looks him in the eye and says, well, if that's how it's going to be, I expect you to be of use. In other words, to be of service, to be of use. I think that in the process of becoming who God wants us to be, the masterpiece in the hands of the master, we are learning to be of service. And the interesting part is this is not easy. The block of granite that became Michelangelo's David was sculpted with a hammer and a chisel. Michelangelo is reported to have said, when asked, how did you do this amazing piece of work? He said, well, I took the rock and took out everything that wasn't David with a hammer and a chisel. It's the hammering and the chiseling that we experience now and that are making us who God intends us to be. We are musicians and servants and businessmen and teachers and all manners of people called to be of use. And on any given day, we are more or less able to do that. And on any given day, when our successes are less successful, a piece is chipped away. And we learn. And we learn from experience, sometimes the hard way, lessons that become of use to other people. Interestingly enough, Michelangelo's David and the other most famous statue in the world that is located at St. Peter's, Michelangelo's Pietà, I'll get to that in just a second, both have suffered from a deranged person taking a hammer to part of it while they were on display, which is a horror in a way. And yet the fragments that were David's toes and a portion of the Pietà, Mary's nose actually, when analyzed by scientists and scholars, taught us all a great deal more about the process of Renaissance sculpting and the nature of the rock and how it was used. In other words, we learned a great deal, even from the act of a deranged person. The Pietà is a fascinating work of art. It depicts, and this was the picture that I'd sent around yesterday as an attachment to an email, it depicts Mary holding the corpse of Jesus after the crucifixion. And our guide pointed out something that's obvious when it's pointed out, but not immediately so. Mary is sculpted not as a woman who is of the age that she would have a 33-year-old child. She rather is sculpted in the very same way, looking very much like she's depicted at the birth of Jesus. And so she's holding Jesus' corpse in the same way that she held his infant body. In other words, bearing her Lord. Hearkening back to the moment where the angel Gabriel said, Mary, we'd like you to be of use. Will you bear the Savior? And Mary's response, in effect, was, it's an honor to be asked, and I will do this. And Michelangelo caught, again, that same sentiment in this awe-inspiring and amazing piece of sculpture. Well, the point is this, that service is something we learn, and we learn how to be of use, in many instances, the hard way. Anytime you do anything for the first time, you'll do it better the second time, and the third time, and the fourth. I still have a copy of the very first sermon I ever wrote not the best piece of work I've ever done. Not horrible, but again, all of us are works in progress. And that's the point. And what we have learned as we progress through our working in progress become lessons to other people. This is the essence of what 12-step recovery is about. Been there, done that. Mary had been there and done that as she bore her Lord at his birth and in depiction of the sculpture at his death. We have come a long way. We got a long way to go. And we will experience what we can teach others through experiencing the hammer and the chisel of failure, of grief, of illness, of difficulty of our own making and difficulties that have come upon us. I don't know if you read Beth Pratt's article in the paper yesterday, talking about playing off of the idea of the race for the cure for the Komen Foundation's fight against breast cancer. She suggested, and others have picked this up, there's a church in Lubbock that's doing this, calling Pray for the Cure. That we, as servants of God, wrap our insight and bring to our collective presence prayers for those who are experiencing the rigors of cancer. Well, we all know people who are cancer survivors. We all know people who are struggling with cancer. And they have become wonderful teachers for all of us on how to deal with adversity. We are a work in progress. And even experiencing something like a diagnosis that is terrible at the face of it, terrible at the outset, can become the beginning of a process by which we are of use. Pray for the Cure simply calls to our attention what we always know to be the case, that we are to be of use, and let it be that the next time we are asked, we find it an honor to be asked. So I'd like to close these thoughts with an opportunity for us to be of use. And I would ask you to join me in the honor of praying for the cure. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, you are Lord of all. You are Lord of life and death and everything in between. And we bring to your attention this morning as a metaphor for all of the things that we experience in life, we bring to your attention those who've heard the diagnosis that it is malignant. And we ask that you strengthen them with your love and you preserve in them your spirit of hope, and that as they move through the process of learning, suffering, prevailing, relapsing, and prevailing, that we become instruments of your peace and learn that we remain a work in progress in the hands of the Master on our way to becoming the masterpiece of service that you intend. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.